Well, here's where we are. We're in a four-part series in December talking about Jesus. Last week, we talked about Jesus as a baby. And that reminds me, right after the announcements, we're going to bring up three babies here and be giving them a Bible a little bit later, so be sure to stay tuned for that. So we talked about Jesus as a baby last week, and today we're up to the section of Scripture, Luke chapter 2, only 14 verses that tell us about Jesus as a boy. Look at that picture of a boy. How many times have you heard this expression, boys will be boys? You ever heard that? You've heard that, haven't you? Kind of reminds me of a man and his son, a father and his son, and the boy was asking questions. He said, Dad, he says, why is the sky blue? His father says, Son, I don't know. He said, well, why are fire trucks red? He said, Son, I don't know. He said, why is the grass green? He said, well, Son, I don't know. He said, why is that bird over there red? He said, Son, I don't know. A little bit later, the boy said, Dad, you don't mind me asking all these questions, do you? So the father said, oh, no, that's how you learn things. Fathers and sons. You know how boys are. Boys are competitive. I mean, we raised two girls, but we've got a grandson, all right? Boys are competitive. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. Three boys were talking, and the first boy said, you know what? He said, I can wear out a pair of tennis shoes in a week. Wow. The other two boys said, that's amazing. The other boy said, well, listen, I can wear out a pair of jeans in a day. I said, are you serious? The third boy said, well, when my mom and dad drop me off at my grandparents, I can wear them out in an hour. Wow. Boys will be boys. We know that. We know that is true. Well, have you ever thought of Jesus as a boy? You ever thought of Jesus like that? I mean, really? We don't have much information about Jesus as a boy. 14 verses in Luke chapter 2. That's about all that we have. And so we'll look at those 14 verses and we'll draw three particular messages about Jesus as a boy. I want you to see, number one, that Jesus was an obedient boy. He was an obedient son. Look here at two verses, Luke 2:51, and then we'll back up to verse 40. Luke chapter 2, verse 51, and then we'll back it up to verse 40. And here's what Dr. Luke records for us. He says here in 51, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. Now go back up here to the previous verse, 40. The child grew, became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, and I ask you, what ways did Jesus show obedience? Well, one example might be at his baptism. You remember he asked John the Baptizer, he says, John, I want you to baptize me. And he says, wait a minute, I'm not worthy to baptize you. You got to be kidding me. Matthew 3:15. It shows Jesus being baptized to fulfill the righteousness of God and to be the example that he wanted to be for future generations to recognize the importance of immersion. And so this is one way in which Jesus was obedient. Let me give you another way. What about his death? When's the last time you read Philippians 2 verse 8? You know what it says? It says he became obedient to death, even the death on the cross. So here would be two examples we would have this morning of Jesus showing obedience. One of the things you also find in Luke chapter 2, you find Jesus going into the temple. And while he was in the temple, there he was asking questions and answering questions. Jesus was just a boy who had tremendous curiosity, not unlike many of your sons, even as we speak this morning. Hebrews 5, you know what it says, 8 and 9? Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, it says, verse 9, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. As Jesus was obedient, he asks us to be obedient to God as well. As Jesus was subject to his mother and father, Mary and Joseph. So you and I are asked to be obedient to our Heavenly Father and the guidebook and the plan and the GPS and the information that He has given to us through His holy and divine Word. Let's look at number two. The second thing I want to call your attention to is the boy teacher. The boy teacher. I want you to think with me about these three selections. The first one in Luke 2, 46 and 47. It says, after 3 days they found Him in the temple, the Herion, out of the original language, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And they were amazed, verse 47 says, and astonished not only at His understanding, but at His answers. Jesus, the boy teacher. I like Acts 1 and verse 1. You know how it starts? It starts by saying this. This is everything that Jesus began both to do and to teach. To do, see Acts, A-C-T-S, Acts of the Apostles. In other words, Jesus in John 13, 14, 15, and 16 said, I'm not going to leave you orphanless. I'm going to give you a comforter. I'm going to give you a Holy Spirit, and He will guide you into all truth. And so Jesus left His teaching, as you read in Acts 2 and verse 42, when He speaks of apostolic doctrine. That is simply the teaching Jesus left behind. And I want to call your attention very quickly to three chapters that give us life and how to live it and how to treat your fellow man. It's Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Is there a greater discourse on human relations, on how we are to live our lives, than these three chapters? This is the pinnacle of the teaching of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If you want to learn how to get along with your fellow man, if you want to learn how to make it in 2016, read these three chapters, ingest them and digest them, and make them a part of your life and a part of your chemistry. This is what the boy teacher gave us, and we are thankful for the information that Jesus gave us. Well, there's a third thing I want to call your attention to. And that's something that we would expect of our boys and our girls, that they grow. And in Luke chapter 2, we have a picture of the growing boy. Look into, again, verse 40, the child grew. You know, the problem with our culture in December is we want to leave Jesus in a manger. We want to leave Jesus in the inn. Did you see what happened yesterday? There was a live nativity scene, and a camel bit somebody. Did you see that? I mean, you know, one of the things you want to learn, don't ever put your hand in a camel's mouth, all right? Just don't do that, all right? But anyway, here's Jesus, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, the pneuma, the spirit. And he became filled with wisdom, Sophia. Sophia, all right? We've got a Sophia in the room here, all right? Look at her. She said, man, I'm wisdom, all right? I'll always be wisdom. And the fourth thing, and the grace of God, the grace of God was upon Jesus. Can there be anything greater than to be said to a person than to say that the grace of God is upon them? And then I want you to look at verse 52, and I believe this is the clincher, because it says four things that really need to be growing in our lives as well. Four things. And I want you to see them in Luke 2 and verse 52, all right? Here they are. Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, in favor with God and men. I want you to see four things. Number one, Jesus did grow in wisdom. And I want to suggest to us that is he had an intellectual growth about him. Is that he continued to thirst for knowledge. He continued to desire discernment. And if there's anything that we need as a body of believers, even in this room, it's that we might acquire more wisdom in our lives. You want one of the great privileges we have in sitting at the feet many times of our grandparents, maybe our great grandparents of older folk who've been through the battles and gone through the struggles, is to listen to them and to hear them. And to let them share the experiences of life and go to them when we have questions. They just have that wisdom of years. And so Jesus grew intellectually. But number two, I want you to see Jesus grew in stature, that in a physical way, Jesus grew physically. We don't always see him as that baby. We learn here that he grew. He grew into a boy. And he went on to say in verse 49, the verse that Landon read just a few moments ago, he said, "Don't you understand?" He said this to his parents. "Don't you fathom the thought that I have to be about the business of my heavenly Father?" And here is where he raised the stakes. And here is where he raised the banner. Not just his physical father, Joseph, that he was subject to, and to Mary, his mother, he was subject to as he grew in wisdom and in stature. But he said in verse 49, it's about my Father's business. I want you to see number three. This is where he grew in favor with God. Luke 2 and verse 49. That he wanted to be in favor with his heavenly Father because he had a greater purpose than the purpose Mary and Joseph might have for him. To end up being a carpenter or to be a fisherman or whatever the case might be. He grew in favor with God. And I want you to see that's spiritual growth. But there is a fourth one here that I think sometimes lags behind for us. He also grew in favor with men or mankind. And I want to put the S word on you today. Jesus grew socially. In other words, Jesus knew how to get along with people. He knew what it was like to be in front of a lot of people. And he knew what it was like to be in front of just one person. And every time that he did, he focused on that person. Or he focused on that group. If he was to feed the 5,000 or the 6,000 or whatever the case might be, as we read about in the book of John, he was interested in taking care of the needs of all of those folk. And he did it. And he did it. Jesus grew socially. So there are four ways that we need to be growing. And this is why the lesson relates to us. We need to be growing intellectually with wisdom and direction and guidance and knowledge. And we need to be continuously holding up the good book and studying from it and learning from it and discerning right from wrong. But we need to grow in our stature. We need to take care of our physical bodies. Because God has given to us just for a brief period of time. We're stewards of them. So we do need to exercise. We don't just want to exercise our mind, you know. We want to exercise our bodies. We want to take care of this temple that God has given to us for just a brief period of years. And so we may need to watch our diet. I went and saw my family doctor this week. And he got in my face. You know, that's the way he does. You know. And he asked me, he says, "You know, I just want to know how you're doing on your diet." And you know what I told him? "Mind your own business." You know, you know I didn't say that. But you know what I wanted to say to him? "How you doing on yours? All right?" You know, you're asking all these other people all these questions. "How you doing on yours?" But when you do it, you have to watch that. And we have to take care of our children. We're growing and taking care of ourselves physically. But number three, how are you and God doing? Are you living your life in favor with God spiritually? And then number four, are you living in favor with your fellow man? Do you get along with people? I'm going to tell you something, people. If the people of God don't get along with other people at the workplace, at school, and we're known as a person that can't get along with others, we may need a checkup from the neck up and then let it go down into the heart and ask why I'm that type of worker or student, because we're supposed to grow in our favor with men. That doesn't mean everybody's going to like us and everybody's going to like every decision we make and everything we do and what we stand for. That's not the point. It's that we are able to reach people and talk to people about Jesus because they know we're trying to be in favor with mankind. That's what we're trying to do. Let me do this. Let me close this morning with this. These four things teach us that we are to live a balanced life. So I want to take us very quickly to our close here this morning in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and verse 12. And this has some information for the youth in the room. All right? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and verse 12. Notice what Paul tells Timothy, a younger man, from an older man. All right? This is from the younger to the older. He says, reject profane and old wives' fables, but exercise yourself toward godliness. And then look at verse 12. Watch the balance that's in verse 12. Well, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young. Don't let people treat you a certain way just because you're young, he says. But he says, here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. Be an example. Be an example to the believers and do it in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. I mean, that's a whole other lesson in and of itself. But there's the challenge. And here's what we're called to do. Live a balanced life. I want to tell you something. When you get out of balance, there's a lot of problems in your makeup, in your chemistry. You ever get a tire on your vehicle's out of balance? You go down the road like this, a-ploop, 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 you know? And your car just don't run right because it's out of balance. And you got to get those tires balanced so that everything is symmetrical and the way it should be. You like those special effects? I didn't either. But grab your songbook. What a wonderful opportunity this morning is to look at Jesus as a boy. And next week we'll see that the boy became a man. That's what we'll see next week. But that's 168 hours away. We got to deal with it right now. Present. In any of those four areas, am I lacking where I need to make a change in my life? You know, the opportunity is right in front of us, and it's nothing but the blood that will cleanse you from the sins that you've committed, whether initially to become a Christian or secondarily when you are a Christian and you've faltered and you've failed and you've fallen short. This is an opportune time to respond. Sean, let's stand together and sing our song.